This is Honest Math Chat, and I'm Mona Eel of Mona Math. I'm a former math avoider turned math teacher cheerleader, and I'm going to get real honest with you about math classroom culture, engagement, math discussions, and all the student-centered instructional practices to help you empower your students to love and understand math deeply. So every Monday on Honest Math Chat, we're going to work together to make our classrooms places where students see themselves as mathematicians. But let's not wait. If you're ready to engage every learner and get them pumped about math, you've got to use math discussions. I welcome you to download the guide to engaging math discussions right now. Go to monamath.com/discussions. You'll get all my best tips on how to guide on the side while getting every child meaningfully engaged in discussing their math thinking. This is Honest Math Chat, and I am Mona Eel. And today on the show, we have an educator who is originally from Chicago. Rachel McCracken is actually not in Chicago anymore. She's an international educator, and she's going to share with you a little bit about herself and where she is in the world. So welcome to the show, Rachel.
Hey, Mona. So glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Maybe I'll start from the beginning of where I started as an educator, because I actually started in the U.S. I got a degree in Virginia, and I taught in Virginia for 4 years. And actually, while I was there, I felt like I almost was about to burn out of education just in my first 4 years of teaching. It was really tough. And I felt like, you know, there was so much emphasis on assessment and very little planning time and just all the woes that I know that teachers are still feeling, probably even more now with the pandemic. So I thought to myself, like, okay, I want to go international. I actually lived internationally as a kid, so I knew about international schools. And I decided to go to a Spanish-speaking country initially. So I moved to Guatemala, and I taught for 4 years in Guatemala. And thank God, because I fell in love with teaching again. And then I taught there as a second grade teacher. And then it was time to move on, and I moved to Brazil. So I am currently in Brazil, and I'm still loving education. So thank goodness. And I've switched roles. So I arrived here as a third grade teacher, and now I am a math coach. And at our school, we use student-centered coaching by Diane Sweeney as our coaching model, which is great. It's basically just all focused around student data. So whatever goals the teacher has, we use the student data to help them reach those goals and to monitor progress. So that's where I'm at now.
Amazing. All right, let's jump in. Rachel, you and I have been talking on Instagram DMs, and friends, the way we connected was she sent me a DM and was like, I'm listening to your podcast. And it made me so excited, because I was like, people are listening. So if you're listening to this, go over to Instagram and send me a DM. It made my entire day. And now we've just been messaging back and forth, right? So tell me, or tell everybody, about your vision for math, because we've been talking about how your school has created a vision, and just what's the ideal at your school?
My school actually has kind of had a huge math makeover in the past 3 years since I've been a math coach here. So I actually started as a classroom teacher, and I taught for like 9 years. And then I switched to math coach. I applied for the job as soon as they created the position at my school. And once I was coach, we also got a principal who was super passionate about math, and she was a former math coach. So we decided we wanted to like completely make over our school's math approach to math. And we decided to adopt the Common Core standards, first of all. And so we really wanted to make sure we were aligned with that. But before we kind of made all these changes and chose a new resource and even really dove into the standards, we did a lot of research and talked to the teachers about what they thought the ideal math classroom would be. And we came up with like a huge list of amazing ideas, but some of them are that they wanted it to be culturally appropriate, because here in Brazil, you know, a lot of times we're using US resources, but they go into details that are like things that we would never have in Brazil, like US currency and coins, or, you know, we really just use metric units here. So doing a lot of the imperial stuff doesn't really make sense. So that was a big thing. That we also wanted to provide opportunities for problem solving and make sure that there's the development of problem solving skills among our students. It really, like, a lot of it goes into the math mindsets that are listed in the Common Core State Standards. But, you know, providing students with real life applications and opportunities, the teachers really just wanted the kids to be joyful and see the joy in math and appreciate the beauty of math and the curiosity and inquiry and creativity. They wanted to make sure that they were problem solving and pattern seeking.
I love that you brought teacher voice into it. That's so important for buy-in. Oftentimes I feel like, you know, so much as a teacher is given to us and told for us to do, but when we create it, we feel invested and we feel like, oh yeah, I can do that because I'm already bought in because I helped make that, right? And you were talking about mindset and really that idea of like problem solving and using the language from Common Core of just like having that math mindset. But I love that you talked about joy, because joy in math is how we get students to change their mindset. You can't like drill and kill somebody into having a positive math mindset, right? So would you talk just briefly about like how your math classrooms are joyful? Like, what's like one or two things that happen in math in your school that are just like joy moments?
Yeah. So one thing that I see when I'm in the classrooms is a lot of the routines that we do are pretty joyful. I actually find that the warm-up routines for our math classes are always really fun and thought-provoking and interesting. And the kids get really involved, and it really promotes the discourse and the communication. And for our kids here, that's a really big deal, because we have probably 95% of our school is Brazilian students, or they're Brazilian students. So they're all learning English, like the entire school is learning English, basically. So just getting them to talk and have those mathematical conversations is huge.
I love it. I am a huge proponent for math discourse. So anytime somebody says joy, that's instantly what goes into my mind of like when kids are excitedly talking about math, like that is a vibe in the classroom, right? Like, so I absolutely love that. And what a gift that you get to go into lots of classrooms and see all different things. Okay. So when you guys did your math makeover at your school, PS, love that term. What did you do? Like, I know we've been talking, let me fill everybody else in on our love conversations here. Okay. So we've been talking about your data collection around math mindsets, which is super impressive. And I think we always talk about wanting to increase math mindsets in students and teachers and people, but we're often like not sure how or where even the mindset is, right? So can you fill us in on a little bit of like what's going on with your school and math mindset?
Yeah. The very first thing we did was actually create some school-wide assessments, because we didn't have any data to see really where our kids are at. It's like almost the opposite problem that a lot of schools in the States have, because we were using a program that we didn't feel like was successful, but we didn't really have the proof. So we needed to kind of assess the students to see where they were at. And then we also like surveyed the teachers, first of all, just to get their opinions on like what their needs are. And then we actually like reached out to a lot of other international schools to see what standards they were using. And we kind of did a survey of what standards to use. And we decided on Common Core State Standards. And we felt that they were good because there's already so many resources out there for them, and that they really aligned with a lot of the beliefs that we had. Then after that, we were like, okay, we need to choose a resource that we really love and that everybody will be on board with. So then we started a whole committee, like we had a committee where we had a whole process for going through that, but it was all centered around that vision that we created initially. Ultimately, we tried out a few different resources and ended up choosing illustrative math, which is great for anyone who is not satisfied with their current resource because it's all open source. And they offer a lot of, like I said earlier, a lot of those fun warm-ups, and they are, very aligned with the standards and the mathematical mindsets. That was all kind of my first year. And then once we chose a new resource, that's when I started collecting data on the mindsets of the students and the teachers. And so I wanted to just see, if there was any growth over time, or if there wasn't growth over time and we needed to change something that we were doing.
Okay, so you're talking about this math makeover change, which is aspirational. I feel like so many schools need to do this, right? We're unsatisfied with our resources. We don't have a school-wide vision. So that framework you just walked us through is really helpful, I think, for any teachers listening who are thinking about, starting to provoke some change within their building. But let's zoom in on math mindsets a little bit more. So what you're saying is you guys are surveying the students about their mindset as well as the teachers about their mindset. Can you say a little bit more about that?
So yeah, we wanted to survey the teachers and the students because we knew that the teacher mindset is also a huge part of what becomes the students' mindsets too, right? Like how the teacher is coming into the classroom is really going to impact how the students feel about math. And for me personally, I always felt like my kids loved math because I made a big deal of being like, yay, it's math time. I'm so excited. My favorite class of the day. Like, and I would get the kids all pumped up and they would always love math by the end of the year, But if the teacher is coming in and saying like, oh my gosh, I hate math. I was never good at math. Like, this is my least favorite subject. I understand if you guys hate it too, then that's gonna be, make a huge, huge difference on how the kids feel. So we wanted to get that initial opinion of the teachers, or kind of get that data from the teachers. And honestly, I think the teacher mindset data is even more fascinating than the student mindset data for me personally. Maybe it's because I'm working mostly with the teachers too as a coach.
What
Yeah.
did you guys find? Like when you put out this survey, first of all, what did you ask and then what did you find?
Yeah. So I actually created this survey from something that I learned from a Joe Bowler course, and it was all about data and she kind of, and also math mindsets. And so a lot of these questions were very similar to what she had asked to us as participants as well. So some of the questions are around what the teacher's opinion of their students are. So it's like, do you think your students have more of a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? How confident are your students when solving math problems? How resilient are your students? And are they able to communicate? Kind of going through all those components of the math mindsets. But then it also asks if they enjoy teaching math and what they like, kind of some of their opinions on what they believe about math. So if they agree or disagree with students who think quickly are more intelligent, or if they believe if struggle is important in the learning process.
So you're really trying to get at like their core beliefs, right? And try it almost is feeling to me like a formative assessment of the math vision, which is like powerful, right? Like, 'cause how do we measure if our vision is coming to life? But like you've created this survey with these questions, asking them what they think about how their students learn, but really it's a assessment of like their own opinions about math and math learning. So what did you find as the math coach? What were you thinking the first time
So
you gave it?
the first time I gave it was interesting. I mean, I would say for the most part, teachers were kind of aligned with where we wanted them to be. There were a few, there's a few teachers, probably about three based on the percentages, that had some pretty fixed mindsets and clearly had some math trauma or just some negative mindsets around math. there's one question of how would you describe your personal relationship with math? And to see that over time, you know, if we started this in August of 2020, which was right in the middle, like right in the middle of the pandemic, but also, so again, yeah, that kind of touches on how the survey is, all surveys are not always super accurate or, you know, perfect, but it's really interesting to see how the teacher's relationship with math has increased or grown over time. There's one option where they could have chosen, I have learned to love math as a teacher. And 37% of teachers had said that in August of 2020. And then a year later, after kind of implementing a lot of work on math mindsets, 61% said that they have learned to love math as a teacher. So even if they had some trauma in their past, they changed and they now love teaching math.
I think that is so inspiring, right? Like, yeah. I can think of 30% of the staff at my school that could benefit from, you know, improving in that area. And so that's a huge gain. What did you do along that year? And we know 2020, 2021 school year was wild, but what did you do as the math coach or as the teaching staff to increase that math mindset?
Yeah, a lot of it was education around it. You know, we had a lot of focus around mind brain education as well. So it was a lot of education. Just that was not even like because of me or anything to do with math coaching or anything like that. That was actually more of a school-wide initiative, but it really aligned well with this because teachers started to learn like, okay, we're all capable of growth. Our brains are elastic, right? Like we can change and our students can change. And there was just a lot of PD and time spent thinking about our minds and our brains and how we learn. And then in addition to that, we also took time in our PLCs to just look at the survey data for our students. So that kind of goes more into the student aspect of this, but that I think maybe helped the teachers realize as well, like where their students are at specifically for their class. So, I mean, there's been a lot of work like on a big picture level, but also just within each classroom and in each grade level as well.
And I'm sure that was really like shocking or eye-opening, I guess, to teachers to see like where their students are in their mindset. So will you talk a little bit about the survey you gave to the students and what came of that?
So yes, the students in grades 1 through 5 were taking the surveys, and grades 1 and 2, actually during the pandemic, they were all doing these online at home with their parents. So a lot of the survey results like might if from that first initial survey are kind of, I don't know if they're like, you take it with a grain of salt because their parents were sitting right next to them. They might've been like, oh, I think that's the right answer. You know, you don't know what was happening at home.
We all feel that way about that school year, right? Like that was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So once we were back on campus though, and we had the kids with us, then the teachers in grades 1 and 2 ended up giving them the paper survey, and they gave it as a one-on-one interview, which I loved because they could really get more detail around the questions. A lot of the times the kids wanted to choose an answer, or they wanted to choose two answers, but they wanted to justify, you know, how they answered the question. Like there was one question where it's, how do you feel when a math problem is really hard? And one of the answer choices is frustrated, I want to give up. And the other one is excited, I want to keep trying. But a lot of kids were like, well, I feel frustrated, but I want to keep trying. And they wanted to kind of combine the two. So it's just helpful for those teachers in grades 1 and 2 to actually see more clearly what their students looked like, what their students' data was. It didn't help me as the coach, because then when I had to put the data into like
that kind of data,
That
kind of data doesn't go into a graph well, right? But that is invaluable to the teacher to get that glimpse into their student's mind. That is just so powerful to give first and second grade students like that amount of voice. Oftentimes, like little kids, people are always like, just kind of thinking like, oh, student voice. Yeah. We'll let them share their favorite animal or what they had for dinner or whatever. But to give them voice in the classroom and really say like, how are you a learner? What are you thinking about Like, that's powerful, just that right there.
Yeah. And then for third through fifth grade, they ended up taking it on at doing it in a Google form. And so that helped me a lot to just like get a clear answer. But then the teachers don't really get as clear of a picture with their students. So there's, you know, pros and cons of doing it both ways.
And just so everybody knows, like, Rachel has these surveys available in her Teachers Pay Teacher store. So I'll link that below in the show notes in case you're wondering, like, what these surveys look like or you want to use them with your students. They're available. So once you had gathered the data, what was that process like for teachers to like use it? How did they use it?
Yeah, well, we looked at it as a grade level team. And this is another thing where it's so helpful that it's student-centered, because, you know, it's one thing for me to walk into a classroom and say like, okay, I think you're making these kids nervous. But it's another thing to have like clear data from the students. Most trends on the data were showing that, you know, in the beginning of the year, the mindset was maybe a little bit low, but by the end of the year, it was a little bit better. Like more kids felt better by the end of the year. And then it would drop again at the beginning of the next school year because they're like a little nervous to be back for the new year. And then it would get better. But there was one grade level where it actually got worse over the course of the year. It's okay to then present that data to the teachers and be like, listen, like, what do we notice here, right? Like, what is happening? And maybe like, what could we do to change or to change the way that we're teaching so that their mindsets are more positive during the course of the year with you?
Absolutely. And I think that is much appreciated because that's the authentic way people learn, right? I always say this, I think I say this on every podcast episode, like we don't learn from experience, but we learn from reflecting on experiences. It's a John Dewey quote, it's not me, but that makes so much sense, right? When you reflect on what happened. And so when teachers are reflecting on this data, and then they can really take that look back at their own mindset. And I love how this is all connected, right? Like, we can't just look at teacher mindset. We can't just look at student mindset. It all works together. And when we have a staff or ourselves as teachers are open to changing our own practice based on what our students are saying, the feedback our students are giving us, powerful.
Yeah. Okay. So after all of this, really just going back to what the whole purpose of this survey was, you know, one of the major purposes, probably the most important purpose of the survey, is for teachers to be able to monitor their own students' mindsets from as they're entering their classroom and they don't know these kids, and they can kind of get a better picture of who they are. And then also they can see how they're doing as a teacher by assessing, giving the survey again at the end of the school year and seeing that like the growth that hopefully would come. And if not, you know, maybe they would sign up for a coaching cycle with me or something and make that their goal. But the other major purpose of the survey was for me as a coach, who's looking more at the macro, you know, picture, to monitor the entire school's mindsets, both teachers and students, and then trying to notice trends, whether there's growth or no growth or a decrease of growth in certain mindsets. And then using that to either justify if our resource is working or possibly be looking at other resources or supplemental materials to help with this big change, this big makeover that we've had. So I feel like those are kind of the two big purposes. So far, it's been really interesting. Like, the survey results are not perfect. Like, they aren't, it's not like we've made this big, huge change at our school and now magically all of the students' mindsets are better. And maybe not magically. I mean, we've been putting a lot of work into it, but it's just not the case, right? It's not the reality that all of a sudden every single area is better, but some areas are better. And so that's all like a big celebration too. I mean, it's just good to be able to see it and then, you know, address it.
Absolutely. And I think that you bring up a really good point. Like, no survey, no assessment, no, nothing is perfect. And we're not expecting to see 100% on agree with math is the best ever, right? Or whatever. But we just want to see an increase or a positive trend, right? As we do when we look at data. So I think that's awesome. So the teachers that are listening, what steps, like, would you recommend for them if they want to start gathering data about their students' mindsets? Like, if they were going to start, what should they do?
I think they need to start with their vision, like you've already talked about previously in other episodes. Like, that is the most important thing. They need to start by thinking like, okay, well, what is it that I want my students to achieve in my classroom? And then survey them and start from the beginning of the year if possible. But even if you're starting mid-year, that's fine too. I know like right now is a perfect time if you're going back to school, like, and you want to start this. There's never a bad time to start. Like, start as soon as you can, because I think it's like so crucial to know where your students are at and how they're feeling. And yeah, you can only go up from there.
Totally. And I think just from like hearing you talk, like, teachers really have to have that openness to getting the feedback from their students too, I think. You know, sometimes when we get feedback, it's hard to not take it personally, or hard to like not blame certain people or things, right, for why that data might be. But really just having that open mindset of, I'm going to give this and I'm going to see what happens. And then we're going to go from there. And it's not anyone's fault. It's just what it is. And then we get to take the next step. So I think it's really exciting if you're listening and you want to start. But just having that willingness to be open to getting whatever results it is you're getting and not take that as a judgment on yourself or your teaching.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that is probably one of the biggest stresses as a teacher, you know, whether it's mindsets that you're surveying or even just assessments that they're, you know, like especially standardized tests, like those are so stressful to, because you feel like it's a reflection on you as a teacher and how well you're doing. And, but having that openness is so important.
Totally. Okay. I'm going to ask you one more question, which is, what is one thing you wish every teacher in your school or in the world did in math every day?
So yeah, one thing that I would love to see in an ideal world is just every teacher finding joy in math and having that appear through their teaching. It does tie back into a lot of the survey questions that we ask the teachers. And you know, of course, like you can't really control if you've had math trauma in the past, but you can change, right? And so yeah, I think that would be amazing to see in every classroom in the world. And I think, my gosh, what a different world we'd be living in if that was the case.
100%. I totally agree. I'm always saying, like, I want to eradicate the math people phrase, but that's even better what you just said of like, if everyone felt math joy, how different the world would be, right? In the classrooms that we have, where math is the best part of the day, not the dreaded part of the day. Absolutely. Okay. Share where people can find you on social media or on the internet to connect more with you after this podcast.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. My handle is Miss McCracken. It's MIS_McCracken, MCCRACKEN. I've been very inactive for the last year because I just had a baby and didn't even remotely think about anything teacher related.
Yay. But, congratulations.
But I'm back on there and I'm active again. I also have a Teachers Pay Teachers store. It's just my name, Rachel McCracken. So it's easy to find.
Yeah. And we'll link both of those in the show notes. And it has been so exciting getting a look into your school. And I love it, the math makeover, as well as just this idea of math mindsets and how you can survey your students or your teaching staff to really push the work forward and give you that data for how to make data-informed decisions about mindset. Love that. I love a data-informed decision. And I love mindset. So it's like the best of both worlds. Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on the show. And please reach out to Rachel if you have any follow-up questions about what we talked about today.
Well, that was your dose of Honest Math Chat for today, friend. Thanks so much for listening. It would mean so much to me if you subscribed, shared this podcast with your friend, or leave a comment. If you have not downloaded my free guide that I made in response to the questions you have all about engaging your students in math discussions, go grab it, monamath.com/discussions. And if you have other questions that I haven't answered, shoot me a DM on Instagram at @HelloMonaMath. I can't wait to chat more with you next week. Remember, we're here every Monday. I'm always listening on my way to work. When do you listen? See you soon, friend.